Are we going? Oh, there we go. Hey, a little delay in the music.
There was a little bit, but hey, you know, better late than never. Hello, Doug, Stack, Reb, Sean.
Brother Reb. Shawnee. Doug, good to see you.
You know, I really felt like some good donuts this morning, but I didn't go get any.
Hey, Shawnee.
You?
We'll have to come down your way and get some good donuts, are we, brother?
Yeah, remember, so he said donuts were on him.
That's right. We'll plan on sometime during the summer. We may make a little stop in there.
But, you know, though, we're going to have to detour now.
Yeah.
You know, the bridge between West Memphis and Memphis is out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're saying that it's going to be out for a long time.
Hello, Audrey.
Oh, that's not good.
Boston Matt. I'm going to start calling him Delvin Matt.
Yeah, there you go.
Does that work?
Delvin Matt.
You know, yeah. I'm envious. You know, he's there. And he's...
I swear, if you hear him, you'd think he didn't live in Delvin. You'd think he was from Boston.
Oh, he is from Boston, I think.
I think he's originally from Delvin.
Is he?
Yeah.
But, you know.
But he just sounds Boston. That's how he got his nickname.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he can confirm that right now, but I believe that's what he told me.
Boston Matt. Hello, Aussie friend Jack Alexander.
That guy, he's put up a lot.
Resident alien Audrey's in the house.
But you know what's weird? He gets to see a whole completely different set of stars because he's in the Southern Hemisphere. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, you see, the Southern Hemisphere does not have the same constellations or stars that the Northern Hemisphere does.
Oh.
And they never change.
Right.
Not unless the Earth tilts and shifts.
Right.
You know, which magnetic north is a little bit different today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I'll tell you why. It's a little bit different today because Havana, Illinois messed with the wrong person. Yeah, my sister called me yesterday, and it made me feel pretty good.
Right.
The Peoria main television, WMBD or whatever.
Yeah.
Said, hey, we want to come down and interview you and your son. We can't believe what the high school did to you down there. What do you think of that?
That's awesome.
I think that's great. You know,
yeah.
You know, spread a little bit of what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
I think we had a little.
I don't think that had anything to do with me.
I think it was.
No, well, you obviously don't know my sister or my brother-in-law.
Oh, I know. Well, that's true. I've yet to meet him.
I'm telling you, you put it this way.
Very patriotic.
You don't want to get in the middle. My whole family is very patriotic.
Which is awesome.
My whole family is very military.
Yes.
My sister was in the Army.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't get in. I had flat feet and bad knees.
Oh.
And you know, I went up in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It was weird back then. They had all of them right there in one building. Well, four of them.
Yeah.
You know, Coast Guard wasn't there.
Right.
You know. But Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines.
Yeah. I remember that in Columbus.
I went from one to one to one to one.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was one guy that was really pulling for me, but he couldn't get past anything.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it really sucked because when your whole family, you know, is in the military and then you don't get to be in the military, it really sucks.
I bet. Yeah.
So, you know, yesterday I forgot to mention it, but my son Adam,
yeah,
the oldest, the adopted son,
right?
You know, he was in the Marines 4 years and he graduated at Mizzou,
right?
And the funny part was they had a Marine sash on him when he walked across Mizzou. Now folks, don't let me fool you, Mizzou is super liberal as well.
Yes.
But I gotta say this, congratulations Adam, because when he walked across the stage they said congratulations Marine. And
that's awesome.
So he told me that kind of gave him chills because you worked for that. You know what I mean?
He
it's
did.
Not given to you.
No, he did. He served his time, you know?
My sister said he didn't get one salute except by his grandpa Greg.
Oh, I know. That's crazy.
You know, but, you know, it's not over.
No, it's not over.
And I think that, you know,
I think
my nephew's sacrifice.
Yeah.
Among other people there.
Right.
Same thing. I think that their sacrifice is going to provide splendor at some point in the future here.
Right.
Because it's funny, when media comes in and they put a spotlight on something and people aren't very happy with what they did.
Yeah.
Things start changing real quick.
Right.
Because the people that didn't have a voice before, the ones that were quiet.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they have an outlet for their anger and their rage and, you know, the things that they wanted to say.
Yep.
Guess what? They've got a place to actually express that.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it wasn't expressed before.
Right.
But I am saying that now they have to look at it.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and they should have to look at it.
Oh, absolutely they should. You know, you don't treat military. Anybody in a bad way.
Especially the military.
Especially. You know, I was thinking to myself, how many people there had like something 4-H or something FFA?
And they got recognized.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Or valedictorian or salutatorian. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And as well, they should have.
Yeah.
But to exclude somebody, and I understand, you know, like some of it, like, well, you can't pay for a sash and get something. But that wasn't the case here.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know.
Politics.
Well, yeah, it really sucks.
In school.
Right.
And that's where, you know, the line needs to be drawn, you know, about school districts. You know, when they get political like that, that's bad.
Absolutely.
When they make it about themselves.
Well, I want to say something because some people now in the cultural climate we live in say, well, military is politics. And I say, kiss my ass, because it's not.
No.
I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. Mm. I don't care if you're somewhere in the far outer reaches of no political line whatsoever. No. You need to support our military, period. And if you don't, you're a sack of peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, it's one of those moments that you have that I read a story yesterday about this teacher.
Right.
Beginning a school, okay, and in a fairly big school district. And the kids came into her room first day back from school, and there's no desks. And the teacher starts out and says, well, if you can tell me, how you get this ability to go to school, how you have the right to sit here in class and learn, then you get a desk.
Right.
First class all came up, you know, oh, my good attendance, my good grades, me listening, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Second class, nothing. Third class, nothing. Crickets. Fourth class, nothing. Fifth class, nothing. The end of the day starts rolling around. Sixth class comes in. Nobody answers it right. And she says, you know what? I'm going to show you something. And she had people, meaning military people.
Yeah.
Of all militaries, carrying the desks. And she said, that right there, that is how you enjoy the right to be able to learn at the school. National Guard, Marines, Army, Navy, Air Force. They were all carrying in the desks. And I say, that is a lesson learned. That is one of the best lessons that I have ever heard a teacher say. It's not about you getting good grades. You should feel good that you have the ability to sit there and learn something.
Right.
It's our military that gives us the right
to
spout off.
The right to do all that.
You know, the people that are out there protesting, the a-holes that take it too far?
Yeah.
Their ability to be able to do
that. Do that. Yeah, it's because of our military.
It's because of our military. Yeah. Because of families, men and women that have sacrificed literally everything.
Every blood, sweat, and tears that they put out there.
Right. And you know, some people say, well, you're going to offend some people. Too bad. I really don't. I don't really don't care.
I don't care about it. When you come to our military, man, there's second none.
Right. I don't care. You know, if you don't
if you think government's bigger than our military, then you've got the issue.
Right. And if people don't like us talking about it, there's a million other shows.
That's right. I'm sorry, but we're about Americana here. But.
My grandparents used to say, they'd be like, toodaloo.
Yes.
You know, bye-bye. Yeah. You know, it's that simple for me.
Bye-bye. Remember? Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. Anyways, so I'm glad that they're coming down there. I'm glad that they're talking to her. WMBD out of Peoria.
Well, God bless it. That's what needs to happen there.
I think this will be brought up around the country.
I think this is going to be eye-opening for the country.
I think this happens a lot more than we know about.
Yeah, well, it gets held back from most of the public.
Exactly. you know,
those who don't seek to dig, as I like to say, for knowledge.
Well, I've got a story today about undigging.
Undigging.
Ooh. Zombie mink.
Ooh.
Literally. It's a federal thing. Just not federal from the U.S.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that. But it's May 18th.
Yes.
Man, and it's National Visit Your Relatives Day. You do that pretty good for however many miles away you are. What do you?
I've since I've been here, what, visited them three times up there?
Four or five.
Maybe four?
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah. I mean, so you make an effort.
I make an effort to go see family, whether they want to see me or not.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. It's
rough.
I love my family. I've got an awesome family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just not enough time in the day.
No.
You know, you start living your life and you're doing things and, you know, all your siblings are doing things. And, you know, but I tell you what, I got to see my grandma. She came down.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's,
man, I'll tell you.
Enjoy every moment you have with your grandparents.
Oh, I love grandma. You know, grandma's got a weird way of giving hugs. You ever notice that? Like,
yeah,
they give you a hug, but it's like they have super strength when it
comes
to hugs. Or
it's like, come here, give me a hug. I remember those days when I was younger.
You know, that hug kind of hangs with you forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course, I don't have none of mine left, so I miss that.
I miss
my grandpa a lot.
Yeah. I think that's like an American thing. You know, that country song?
Yeah.
I wish Bud Light never ran out, you know. You know, and I wish grandpas never died,
yep.
You know.
I know what you're talking about. Yep.
But, and everybody in here feels that, knows that
feeling.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, you got your mother and you got your father.
Yep.
And you never
There's something about grandpa.
Grandpa and grandma.
Grandpa and grandma.
There's something about, like, you will jump to the ends of the earth to make sure that they are not ashamed.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
And you would jump for anything to do for them. If they needed help.
Oh, you need me to walk through that fire over the cross?
I'll take you. I used to do that. I was that guy.
No, my grandma's was pretty good. So remember this, folks. It's National Visit Your Relatives Day. You know, spend all the time you can with them.
Yeah, enjoy life with them while you can.
It's a National No Dirty Dishes Day.
Mm.
You got any dirty dishes?
Yeah, I do this morning.
Uh-oh.
I have to get on it.
It's National Cheese Souffle Day.
Mm.
I'm not quite sure what a souffle is. I haven't heard that word in forever. How about you?
I haven't heard that since I was a kid, matter of fact.
Yeah, right, souffle. I mean,
remember teenage years I heard that word, I believe.
It was when we were, you know, speaking English but pretending to be, you know, very educated.
Well, what is that word, guys? That's right, what we used to ask parents, like. What is that?
And it's National HIV Vaccine Awareness Day.
Mm.
I don't know anything to be aware of. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Do you see this new TikTok thing where they're putting magnets on their body after taking the
you know, I was talking about it with you yesterday.
Don't know if it's real. Don't know if it's not real. But now there's a new conspiracy. And I have to ask this just because.
You can ask him the host. You're not right.
Right. Well, there's some people out there that think that there's aliens coming or an alien attack.
Yeah.
And that the vaccine is actually to protect us from this alien attack.
Wow.
I'm going to let you take that for a second. You're the knowest here. I'm an amateur when it comes to this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I heard this rumor too. And that's why all it is a rumor. But you know what? I've had a lot going through my mind over this. Like, I had a dream about with the shot.
All right, well, hang on.
Yeah, last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay, let's hear it.
Because I guess we talked about it at work. I think that's what made me dream
probably,
about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I had a dream, man, that anybody that took the COVID shot was taking Satan's bloodline. That was like a sci-fi movie. I was like, holy cow, I got to wake up.
Yeah.
I woke up from that one.
I think you were, you know, whatever it is that makes you dream more at night, you were definitely eating a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's probably the furthest out there thing I've ever heard.
It was set up, to me, when I woke up this morning, I was like, man, I just dreamed a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It was weird. It was like everybody that took the COVID took the mark of the beast, is what everybody was saying. I just took that mark, the mark of the beast, and they kept pointing them.
There's so many fake stories out there.
I know.
Here's what I think. I think it boils down to this. I think that a bunch of people hurried up to make some vaccines that may or may not work.
Right.
I think there's dangers to them simply because we don't know what's in them. They haven't, you know, tested it properly yet. You know,
hit that danger button. There you go.
Yeah, you like that danger?
Danger. Yeah. Just like a dream. Dangerous.
Well, Ian, you know, it's just...
Oh, it was like sci-fi. It really was. It seemed so real, though.
You know, some people feel comforted by it.
Yeah.
By all means, do what you want to do.
Right.
You know, we're Americans here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just weird for me.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
I won't take it.
Well, I think that we've had cancer and it's killed how many people?
Right.
And we can't come up with a vaccine for that.
It's like I said, I can go swimming in a creek or a lake and get a virus.
Or the flu.
A virus. I'm talking about just getting a virus.
Well, I'm very happy in the year 2021 that the flu is completely done killing people. I'm
right.
Just, you know, I'm just saying.
So I'm wondering if you can get the COVID from swimming in a creek.
I don't know.
Because you could get a virus is what I'm saying.
Well.
They always say that.
They do.
And it has happened.
I don't know. Let me find this here because I think that you're going to like this. Denmark. Okay, check this out. Denmark starts digging up 4 million zombie minks. What do you think of that?
Wow.
Hello, Benjamin Porter, Susie Q,
and Denmark,
Michael Hastings.
Of all places. Right.
Yeah, Denmark starts digging up 4 million zombie minks. Now listen, this is in the realm of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
In Denmark, in an excavation of massive scale, has begun. But the project isn't just any regular construction or landscaping project. Instead, the Danes, they say Danish, I'm just going to say the Danes because it sounds cooler, right? Are digging up millions upon millions of corpses. Granted, they're the corpses of minks, but corpses nonetheless. Why?
I have no clue. This has gone weirdo.
It is, but it's real. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the Scandinavian country exterminated every single farmed mink in the country.
Oh, boy.
The cull of extreme proportions came after doctors discovered a coronavirus strain that was infecting people through animals. The masses of dead minks were then hastily buried. But now the runoff from the millions of corpses is having some unintended side effects, namely... Local residents are concerned that the rotting minks are polluting drinking water around the mass grave. They also worry that decomposition fluids seeping off the minks could taint popular swimming spot. It says workers have now started unearthing the minks, and so far everything is proceeding well, Denmark's agricultural minister Rasmus Prehn said. The test excavations of mink are underway in Norrfelding. I am relieved to see that everything's going according to plan, Prehn tweeted. Now, here's where I have a problem, and it kind of makes me crazy. You would think that this guy, Mr. Prehn, the agricultural minister, do you think that he wasn't around when they decided to kill millions upon millions upon millions of mink and then dump them in one hole? And
yeah,
I mean, I'm no agricultural minister, but I do know if you open a big hole and you bury a bunch of you know, biological material that's going to rot, that it can have some consequences. You know, maybe he just doesn't have a degree.
Could be.
You know what I'm saying? But this is what bothers me. Listen, this is costing $24.4 million.
Denmarkans are paying that.
The Danes.
Yeah. Denmarkan.
Yeah.
That's my word of the day.
Denmarkans? Yeah. Like arsons, you know? Yeah,
arsons.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
that could be a word.
It's just to properly appreciate this screw-up of epic proportions, we have to start from the beginning. In mid-2020, at the height of the pandemic, Danish health authorities made a disconcerting discovery. The found virus strains that could and had transferred from the minks to people. Not only that, they were more resistant to any medications at the time. Faced with a potential viral time bomb, the Danish government made a difficult decision. They signed the death warrant of the country's entire 17 million strong farmed mink population. Oops. You know, and then bury them all in one hole. What is wrong with these people?
Well, are they asking for or wanting something big to happen, like a seance or something?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you would know, right?
No.
I mean, you would know that you can't do that, right?
Right. I would know that I couldn't do that.
You can't throw 17 million mink in a hole and say, oh, don't worry about your water. Don't worry about flies. Don't worry about maggots. Don't worry about,
I'm thinking about how much that's costing the taxpayers of Denmark.
$24.4 million.
You know, I'm just...
And this
I'm
is Denmark we're talking about.
I know. I can't get fathom that.
You got to wait 7 years to get a car there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody
walks. But yet
they're
taking their tax dollars and doing something like this.
You know, I'm not saying. The world's I'm just
gone
saying.
Crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I mean.
I know.
What do you got, brother?
All right. Do animals laugh?
Yes.
I agree.
I've seen a dog laugh before.
I have, too, and I've seen them smile, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Animal vocalizations made during play are a close analog to human laughter. Laughing together is an important way for people to connect and bond. And though the causes of laughter can vary wildly across individuals and groups, the sound of a laugh is usually recognizable between people belonging to a different cultures. But what about animals other than humans?
Ooh.
Do they laugh? And do the cause of their laughter resemble the triggers for human laughter? In humans, laughter can express a range of emotions.
Maybe.
From positive feelings like enjoyment to negative ones such as disgust. I never laugh when I'm disgusted.
But have you ever met the person that will laugh at a funeral?
No.
Because they have these weird emotional things that, you know, they'll smile and they don't know why, but it's a thing. It literally is a thing. And then I know people that will cry when they're angry. Not because they're sad, but because they're angry. Like, you know, my wife, she starts crying about something.
But, keep marching. people also laugh when they...
Thank you.
I helped you out there, Harry.
Thank you.
People also laugh when they hear a joke or when they see something that they think is funny.
Hello, Ginger.
Through its unknown animals' intelligence, includes what humans would call a sense of humor.
Nice.
Yes, I know, right? However, many animals produce sounds during play that are unique to that pleasant social interaction. Researchers consider such vocalizations to be a close analog of human laughter. Recently, scientists investigated play vocalization to see how common it was among animals. The team identified 65 species that laughed while playing. Most were mammals, but a few bird species demonstrated playful laughter, too. This new analysis could help scientists to trace the evolutionary origins of human laughter, according to a new study. Your thoughts, Mr. Hans?
I believe that. I believe that there are some animals that have emotions, laughter, happiness, sadness. I guess that's why I'm a sucker for animals. You know what I mean?
And, you know, I think of one laugh in Hollywood, and that's that laugh Clyde used to make. Remember the grill?
Oh, yeah.
When he knew that he went and crapped in that police cruiser. Remember? Did you crap in that car? Remember?
yeah,
he was like...
Yeah, you know.
Clyde was cool.
Clyde was awesome, man.
I love Clyde. I wanted a Clyde. Now my dad said that.
Hello, Paula.
That's never going to happen. But anyway.
Well, you know, I think that we take for granted a lot of the animals that we have. You know, I hate seeing stray cats. I guess I got a lot of that from my Grandma Shirley. She was the cat lady, but she didn't have a million cats around.
Right.
She fed them. She spent a lot of money taking them to the veterinary clinics and stuff.
Yeah.
Miss her, man. Miss her. It's National Visit Your Relatives Day. I wish that she was still around so I could go visit her again.
I hear you.
You know, memories are what makes us.
Wish all my grandparents were around so I could go visit them.
Oh, absolutely. Do you have any specific memories that are yours?
Just being around my Grandpa Baker.
Well, I remember
I've learned a lot.
When I was a kid, we'd go there, and Grandma had it set up a little bit different than most people. You'd walk in, and any cookie known to man was sitting there, plus pies.
Yeah.
You know, now, remember, I come from a Norwegian-ish family. Norwegian, Greek, German.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you walk in and there's all these cookies. So your mouth is salivating right away, but grandma made it really special. Then you'd walk into the next room and there was everything that you could have for Christmas. I'm talking, you know, different types of potatoes, different types of, you know, gravies. And then you'd walk in the next room and she'd have the turkey, the ham, the blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And then it was like going through a game and getting to the living room. And when you finally got to the living room, there was a Christmas tree that a big one. And it was like a mountain of presents. From underneath there, they stretched all the way out into the middle of the living room floor. Mm. And all the cousins and aunts and uncles, you know, they were all there. I miss sometimes, man. I'm not going to lie. You know what I'm saying? I kind of miss those times.
Yeah. I mean, that's memories, like you said.
Right. So we were talking about Boston Matt earlier, and I said, you know, I wanted to talk. I was kind of envious.
Yeah.
So where he lives close to a place called Lake Lawn Lodge. All right. Now, Lake Lawn Lodge, it has a lot of history behind it. Like, they dug up huge people there.
Yeah.
Okay, they said the skulls were bigger than 3 bushels.
Wow.
Okay, this is like 1912, Beloit College, you know. Anyways, that's where I had my first real job. Right. You know, the job where you go in and you punch a time clock. I don't even think they do that anymore.
No.
You remember the old time card slots?
Yeah,
you
pull it out.
And, you know, and, it was one of those kind of jobs.
Yep.
And I got my first tip ever. Mm. Okay, I was like the guy that did a little bit of everything. They said that I worked in laundry, but then, you know, 16 years old, they found out I could fix things.
Right.
So I was running around on a golf cart and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, this lady comes down. And this is, you know, 1996?
Yeah.
Five? Somewhere's in there. Mm-hmm. 95. Well, anyways, so I'm there and this lady calls down, nobody can take this lady a pillow. I was like, I'll take her a pillow.
Right.
I get up there. She's like, oh, thank you very much for a pillow. And she's like, here, you can have this. And she gives me $50.
Wow.
A $50 bill. You know, that was at that point.
That's
you know,
good money back then.
That was really good money. That was like, you know, 2/3 of what I was going to make that day.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, okay, I don't want to be the guys that I'm working with here. Yeah. I want to be whatever that woman's husband is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why that always stuck with me. Did that ever, anything like that ever stick out
memory.
To you?
It's a childhood memory.
Because, and a feeling.
Yeah, well, it's a childhood memory because, you know, it was something good that happened to your life, you know?
Right, absolutely.
You did something good for someone and you got paid well for doing something good for someone.
Right. So Toronto is a little bit progressive, would you say?
I would say so.
And I saw this story and after seeing what it said, I knew that it was perfect for this show. Everybody, check it out. Odds and ends. Penis potholes and other offbeat offerings. This is actually pretty good, okay? This guy was thinking outside of the box. Well, that's one large and wide way to get someone's attention, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it caught you, right? Penis potholes and other offbeat offerings. A New Zealand man was so fed up at his local council's lack of attention to fixing potholes in his hometown of Auckland that he decided to get a firm grip on the matter. According to The Guardian, road safety advocate Jeff Upson was so sick of calling Auckland Transport to fix potholes that he decided to get the attention of city council by drawing green and pink penises and spray paint them around the potholes.
Mm.
You know, kind of thinking outside of the box, having a firm grip on what he needed to do, right?
Right.
Apparently, Auckland Transport wasn't amused by Upson's phallic road drawings and called the cops on the man last week, according to the New Zealand Herald. The graffiti work got the attention of Auckland Council, who stated that penis graffiti posed a safety risk and distraction. Apparently, Upson has drawn 100 penises to date on the New Zealand roads. It's not the first time someone has drawn penises on roads, apparently. The BBC reported that it happened in the United Kingdom in 2019 in Middlesbrough and in 2015 in Manchester in an effort to get potholes repaired in those towns, respectively. Needless to say, the tactics have worked.
Mm.
Now, okay, here's my question. People are laughing. They're like, oh, my gosh. But the potholes needed to be fixed, right?
Yeah.
And if your city isn't doing anything about it,
then you've got to do something.
Then you've got to do something about it, right?
Yeah.
And it seems in all of these areas, all three places, they started drawing, you know, the male anatomy on the ground.
Right.
And, you know, like. Almost like an arrow.
Yeah.
Point. And guess what? The city fixes the potholes. Do you think they're onto something here?
Maybe we can fix yours at the end of the driveway.
I don't know if we got that much spray paint, though.
Yeah. But then we'd have.
I got a big hole out there.
I know you do.
You know what I mean?
That's a crater.
Yeah, it's big. It's, you know, it's causing damage to your car, I'm pretty sure.
It might be, but it's well worth not getting the car crapped on by the bird.
Yeah, probably. Oh, well, what else do you got?
Oh, I got that. Kurt Cobain's hair sells for over $14,000 at an auction.
His hair.
His hair.
Wow.
Kurt Cobain smells like my hair. Strands of locks sells for $14,000.
$14,000.
Yes. Kurt Cobain's golden locks are worth more than gold. A few strands of his hair just sold for five figures at a rock and roll auction. A winning bid for the late Nirvana frontman's hair came in at a cool $14,145. Yes.
Wow.
And that's just for six strands. Wow.
Wow.
As you can see, Kurt's blonde hair is preserved under plastic about the size of a trading card. And the auction house, Iconic Auctions, says the longest strand checks in at 2.5 inches. I bet it goes for more.
Wow.
These few silvers of music history come from a 1989 haircut Kurt got while Nirvana was on a famous Bleach tour, was the name of their tour there. The winning bidders also taking home these pictures of Kurt's haircut. He got the trim from his friend Tessa Osborne and posed for a smiling snap with the scissors still in her hand.
Oof.
Oof. And I wish I could show you all that, but Kurt's hair has been quite a journey. The haircut happened in Birmingham, England, and Tessa kept the locks in a bag until she gave it to Seattle artist Nicole DiPaolo after Kurt's death. Your thoughts, Mr. Hans?
You know, it used to be, the locks of hair, you know.
But now it's,
strands
of hair?
Well, not that. It's kind of dangerous now, you know, with them.
Dangerous.
Well, yeah. Danger.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why.
Danger.
Danger.
They have ways to replicate things, you know, like you could lose a hair somewhere and they could be like, yeah, we need to replicate him. We need to clone that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, that's scary to me. Wow. How would you like to find your, not a doppelganger, but to find somebody that's literally walks, talks, and acts like you, has your DNA?
I'd be like, oh, you go to work for me today.
You know, I've thought about that with... With the amount of kids I have,
right,
it's a no miss. You know what I mean.
Right.
So if they were ever going to, you know, take somebody and replicate them,
at least if Maya's yelling at you, then she's yelling at your clone.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I could, that could work. You know,
hey,
you know, go talk later. to the yell at clown. You know, he's the whipping post today.
You can thank me later.
I saw this video, and you've experienced fishing plenty of times, right? Okay, I'm gonna try to play this here. Hopefully, everybody can see it. Watch this. He's tarpon fishing.
Tarpon?
Tarpon.
I take it he's using a tarp.
No, it's a fish.
Did not know that.
Yeah, check this out. This is gonna freak you out.
But this is a big fish.
Jesus Christ. Gotta be careful here.
You see it coming? No, here it comes. See it?
Oh.
All right. Do you see that? That's a 10-foot American gator.
That puts an end to my tarpon fishing.
Oh, my goodness.
He has like a standoff with this guy. Okay. Would you have to change your drawers after that? Look at
it. I probably would.
Not only did that
I'd probably have to wear two sets of drawers just to go fishing.
Well, he didn't even come up to, like, the edge. I mean, he came up on the trail to come and get this guy.
Wow.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you, that would scare me.
Right.
You know, I've been a lot of, I've caught mud puppies. I've seen a lot of snakes out fishing.
Right.
Oh, I've never had an alligator come out after me.
Benjamin Porter said Boca Grande, question mark. I don't know.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at, now he's going back. Look at how big that thing is. Hello, Kate. I'm telling you, when you're fishing in certain places in America, you got to be ready for anything.
Right.
Could be rattlesnakes, you know, could be 10-foot alligators, could be sharks. Could,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'd be done. I'd probably never come back to that
fishing hole
again.
No. I am out of here.
I'd be done for that hole.
Yeah.
Screw that.
That's it.
Hole in one, I'm done.
Dan says hit the gator on the head with a hammer. You know, that's one thing that I really, to be honest with you, I've never taken a hammer fishing. Have you?
No.
I know probably on the big boats, they have the hammers, whack, and, you know, just to,
yeah,
you know, the big fish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that guy's very lucky.
Very, very lucky.
Benjamin Porter says tarpon come way up the Peace River where the gators live. I'm telling you, that's kind of scary. I went to, I think it's called Gator World in Florida.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit freaked out because, you know, when you're from Wisconsin, you go down there and you're like, oh, we're going to go to Gator World and they're going to have them fenced off. Not exactly. Mm-hmm. You're literally walking a path with the gators right next to you on the side.
I don't think I like that.
Well, it was a really cool experience. However.
Yeah. Are they telling you they're trained?
Well, I was a kid, so I was, you know, pretty.
You would believe anything of a kid.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think I could outrun them then.
Right.
You know, at least short
climb
distance.
A tree.
You know, right. I don't know about it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm just, you know, I'm not that nimble anymore like I used to be.
Yeah. Climbing the tree won't be a little more difficult now.
I take a gun with me fishing. My wife always wondered why, Sean. He says, well, there you go. That's perfect.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you the other weird thing that I saw a stingray, not a stingray, excuse me, a weird jellyfish, a stingray jellyfish. I can't remember what it was called. I don't think it was a man of war. But anyways, we went to this beach and this guy was getting pulled out by the paramedics. And literally it looked like somebody took a stapler and went around his leg, like literally like this.
Oh.
And I was like, Dad's like, you want to go swimming? Nah. You know, I don't know what happened to that guy, but I sure don't want that to happen to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Speaking of happening to me, have you heard the latest on Bill Gates? Because not many have.
No.
You haven't heard the latest on Bill Gates?
I have not heard the latest on Bill Gates.
No. Oh, boy. You know, we all thought that he was some wholesome Boy Scout and, you know.
Oh,
Do you remember when he denied the allegations of him hanging out with Epstein?
Yeah.
Well, his wife is starting to tell all.
Ooh.
Okay. Now, not only has he exerted everything that he's railed against, like male privilege and,
right,
you know, being a pig to workers and stuff, his wife now has also expressed how she was very uncomfortable and said multiple times how she didn't like him spending that much time with Mr. Epstein.
Hmm.
Now, how do we know this? Well, because it came out in a New York Times article. Which I'd love to bring up right now, but it says unlimited access. Pull your credit card out and only pay $1 a week. Well, I'm not going to do that for that liberal garbage.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? But in this tell-all, the wife's saying,
okay,
he was spending lots and lots and lots of time with Epstein after he was convicted of sleeping with minors in Florida.
Oh, boy.
There was questionable kids around all the time. She didn't like him spending time with the young girls that Epstein always had around.
Mm.
And she had every right to question, you know, whether he was going to be a good husband and faithful or not, because multiple times in multiple businesses, even the Gates Foundation, he was being a Casanova. Is that the right word?
I think so.
You know what I'm saying? Is Casanova the right word?
Could be.
I mean, he was being a Dan Baker, but he wasn't single.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? I mean, I want to know. What do you think when Bill Gates, a supposedly Boy Scout, a wonderful man, wonderful husband, wonderful father, is globetrotting with Epstein and his entourage.
Well, I think there's a little bit of a difference between me being a Casanova and him being a Casanova.
I would say that's an understatement.
That is a big understatement.
Yeah.
Because he's being a Casanova towards 17-year-olds.
17, 16, 15.
17, 14. 16, I mean, 15, 14. And we know what Epstein messed
around. Well, I've got pictures on the Lolita Express with 14-year-old girls that had been trafficked flying somehow on private jets. I mean,
right.
They must have been just trying to get him to a safe haven, right?
No, yeah.
Right, yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Just getting him safe to a safe haven at the Gates Foundation.
Here's my question. This came out in the New York Times. Here's the article, folks. If you guys want to go check it out yourself, check this out. Long before divorce, Bill Gates had a reputation for questionable behavior. Why isn't this on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox?
Because they're friends.
Well, here's the thing. It's on New York Times. Yeah. The New York Times has an article about him being a man whore and worse.
Yeah.
And having multiple friends that were into the.
Right.
Underage variety.
Yeah.
And I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
I think that if you spent time with Epstein, you have questionable judgment.
Right.
You know, and some people say, well, Trump spent time with, I think he had questionable judgment at that time as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anybody that does that, I'm not giving a pass to anybody because I happen to like or dislike their politics. Everybody.
That's right. I don't make it political.
Exactly. It's not political. It's wrong.
It's just wrong either way you look at it.
Well, now multiple people have came forward after the divorce. So Melinda Gates must hold some sway. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because multiple women have now come forward saying that he was inappropriate with them. And multiple people have came forward now to explain all his rendezvous with new workers. And there's a common theme.
Yeah.
He had workers that would go, I want that girl. And they would run out and procure. Yeah. Mr. Gates would like to take you to dinner tonight. Don't refuse.
Right.
That's going on.
Oh, I believe it.
I want to know. Hello, Carolyn. Kate says Gates is untouchable. We have tried. I'm telling you, every one of these billionaires is untouchable. And, you know, we need to make sure that we don't allow this anymore.
Right.
He's CIA. He's working with multiple things around the world. I mean, Africa has kind of been his, like, let's go test this ground type thing. What is this sad?
Yeah.
That you can't deal with people like that?
Yeah.
Is it sad that it's gotten to the point that his wife is not okay with his choices and his, you know, what do you call it, extramarital romps and affairs and whatever he does? You know, if a person is married and they choose to be a cheater, that's their business. I don't like it, but that's their business.
Right.
You know, when you start dealing with underage people, it becomes everybody's business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You have crossed a line. You can't come back from that line.
No.
Nope. And in this article, folks, I want you to go and read it. The New York Times has the article that talks about his wife expressing all the concerns that she had with him hanging out a lot with Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, yeah.
There's something to it.
There is. I mean, that's right there. That opened up the whole can.
Well, it did. And it's.
And it's coming from his
wife. You do or you don't like the New York Times, thank you, Mark. He says he got pie in his face, and you're damn right he did. What's going to come of it? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
If you're super rich in this country, you don't face justice. Because remember, there's justice, and then there's just us.
Yeah, that's it.
He's in the just us crowd.
Right.
You know?
Yep, nothing will ever happen.
But I don't like him.
But I don't either. But it's like if you've got money and wealth and you're in the top 100, they'll take care of you.
Well, this is what's funny. And I just want to say this because for a long time, if you talked about Bill Gates being friends with Jeffrey Epstein, they said, you conspiracy theorist. It's all lies, lies. Well, now, hey, guess what? His own wife came out and has now admitted that he was great friends with Jeffrey Epstein. And he spent so much time with him that it became very concerning to her. And that was the beginning of the demise of their divorce.
Right.
Or demise of their marriage, excuse me, which led into divorce.
Right.
Can Can you get any more factual based than the wife that went through it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, she.
I mean, does it really matter, though?
It does, but.
I mean, and they knew that this was going on. But
nothing will get done about it, like we said. Nothing will get done.
Right.
It's just crickets.
It is. But it's good to know that we weren't wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. You know.
We're not part of the club, so.
Exactly.
So,
and I don't want to be part of that club.
I don't want to be part of that club.
You know what? I'm telling you right now, I don't want anything to do with those pedophiles.
No.
And yes, I call Bill Gates a pedophile.
Yep.
If you're hanging around with Jeffrey Epstein and your wife's questioning the girls that you're hanging around because you're with him, you're a pedophile. I don't really care what anybody says. That is my opinion.
That's right. George Carlin said it right, though. If you're not part of the club, then, you know, you're just a regular pretty much Joe.
Well, and I'm fine being a regular Joe.
And I'm pretty much happy with that myself because... if I had to stoop that low in life to find a woman.
Speaking of regular Joe, I like to call us regular crankers.
Yes.
You know, I think it's ready. Maybe not ready. I don't know. Go to Spreely.video, Spreely.tv, Spreely.com. You're going to be able to join the Crankers Club.
Right.
I think that's pretty awesome. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Spreely's went way up. Did you end up doing a live on Spreely at all this last weekend?
I did a live on there.
Did you do? What was it about?
I did not over the weekend, but I did a live from the studio the other day.
Oh, yeah, you did. That's right.
But I do need to start going live there because this book shut me down.
Yeah, I mean,
but I can't do
you're
that.
You're kind of limited. And they got a lot I'm of limited. Cool stuff for the live.
I'm limited, but Spreely's good, guys. I'm telling you.
It's good. You know what else I like? I like Spreely. I like TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok's awesome, too.
Now, some people are like, they're anti-American. Well, I don't think you've been on there very much. No, you know what I mean?
It depends on who you go on. Really, it does.
It does. There's some on there, but, you know, I don't want to be in an echo chamber.
Me either. I mean, if you want to hear the same thing over and over, just keep hitting rewind on somebody, one person. Boom, boom. You're going to hear the same thing over and over.
Right.
It's like a merry-go-round.
Oh, you mean if you watch Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC?
It's all the same merry-go-round.
The same thing over
just
and over.
Spun a different way. Yeah. Right?
It's like, let's sit here and chew the fat.
Yeah, over you got, and then you got your lefties on there arguing, oh, Fox is too conservative, and you got the right saying, oh, CNN's too liberal. It's all the same.
Have you ever chewed gum?
It's all an echo chamber
where the gum that you have like dissolves into your mouth.
Yeah.
See, news is kind of like that. Until you put a new piece of gum in, where you have the exact same taste, you chew it for a while, it loses its taste very quickly. And then over time, it just starts dissolving in your mouth, and you put a new one. It's the same revolutionary cycle over and over.
The best way to say it is, it's like a merry-go-round going around a pyramid.
That's a weird merry-go-round.
It is. But I know. I'm just picturing this upside-down pyramid because that's what you're doing.
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, you know, I think you're right.
I just got a different way of putting it.
Well, there's something to that.
There is something to that.
Do you remember the other day you did the story about the tiger in Houston that had been spotted in Houston running around the roads?
I didn't hear about that.
No, you did a little blurb on Thursday.
Maybe I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Anyway, so I looked into it, and they said, no, there wasn't a tiger. You know, people were just seeing things. It could have been a large alley cat. It could have been. Well,
yeah.
Owner surrenders tiger spotted in Houston neighborhood. So it wasn't alley cat. Well, this is a pretty damn big alley cat. The owner of a 9-month-old tiger seen loose in Texas last week has surrendered the animal to authorities, the Houston Police Department said as of Saturday night. Right. We are happy to report that the missing tiger seen in Houston neighborhood last week has been found and appears to be unharmed. The tiger named India was immediately placed in the city's animal shelter and is expected to be transported to the Cleveland Armory Black Beauty Ranch Wildlife Sanctuary on Sunday. Gia Cuevas and her husband Victor Hugo Cuevas are the owners of the tiger. Cuevas brought the animal to authorities Saturday and is not facing criminal charges at this time. Well, what do you think about that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, to be honest.
I mean, you know.
Nothing surprises me anymore after hearing what we talked about all morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the same thing. Like, we've talked about a little bit of every extreme, and it's like, Wow, can we get any crazier?
Right, it is.
Really, I mean.
So what do you got?
I've got Jet Fooled.
Jet Fooled?
Jet Fooled.
Jet Fooled or Jet Fueled?
Fooled.
Fooled. Mm, yeah. I want to hear it.
Plastic waste can now be turned into jet fuel in 1 hour. Plastic waste can now be turned into jet fuel in 1 hour. Scientists have found a new way to convert the world's most popular plastic, polyethylene, into jet fuel and other liquid hydrocarbon products, introducing a new process that is more energy efficient than existing methods and takes about an hour to complete. Your thoughts, Mr. Hans, on that new invention?
New. Yeah, I hate when people use the word new invention.
Well, that's what they're calling it. A new way.
I shared a TikTok the other day of a video from like 1981 where this guy got his car to run on water.
Yeah, I know.
Did you see that TikTok? Yeah. And it brought back memories for a lot of people.
Yeah, I remember it.
What happened to that technology?
I know.
You know what I'm saying? What happened to that technology?
I want that car.
Well, guess what? That guy is just gone, missing. There was another guy up in Canada that made two of the motors. They confiscated all of his stuff twice, and now he's sitting in prison.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, it's real, though.
It's real.
So, I don't know. Where is this? Where is it at? You know, we're sitting there paying. When I left the other day, I paid $2.59 a gallon here, which is high in Missouri.
Right.
I get to Illinois. The very first gas station I stopped at, it was $3.19 a gallon. Mm. And I think that the highest I paid there was $3.59 a gallon. But think about that. It's costing Americans. It's one way to suck the money out of us.
Well, I think I see what was going on here, why these guys got arrested, too. This is kind of dirty.
All right,
but I think they got dirty because they were on to something.
Oh, I think so, too.
I think they were on to something that worked.
Right.
I think the government caught on to it. Government got the instructions that they had put together to make these cars and trucks or whatever they were making to run on water because they knew it would be cheap. All you got to do is pull into a gas station. Instead of getting gas, it'd be a water station. You'd go get your water and fill up.
Well, according to a lot of scientists that study Tesla.
Yeah.
You know the thing where you set your phone somewhere? Supposedly Tesla had made that way back in the early 1900s.
Right.
You could charge things. Tesla did it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right.
And I heard a study the other day that said 79% of the things that we touch today were made available because of the work that Tesla did.
Mm.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
You know.
But Tesla had a lot of interesting things.
Yeah, he did.
Our government's dirty on that.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Check this out. Does this freak you out at all? Does that freak you out?
Double letter written by nuns.
Go ahead and say it out loud.
Double letter written by nuns possessed by Satan more than 300 years ago has finally been translated.
Yeah, so this is like a real thing.
Yeah.
Okay, there was a nun that got possessed, supposedly.
Yeah.
And she wrote a letter, and they couldn't decipher the letter.
Hmm.
I find this just fascinating. It says over 300 years ago at the convent of Palma di Montiero in Sicily, a nun named Sister Maria Crocifissa della Consuano, I'm just saying, claims to have been possessed by the devil. According to the story, Sister Maria woke up one morning in 1676, covered in ink, having spent the night writing letters. Maria, who had been at the convent since she was 15 years old, is believed to have been screaming and fainting while writing the notes. The devil dictated to her. There it is right there. Wow. See it?
Yeah, I see it.
Now, that's weird. And I don't know. It looks like, if this was written one night, it looks like some real sort of alphabet, doesn't it?
Don't it look like, just the writing, looks like the pyramid, Egyptian writing.
But kind of. I don't see all the, swooping circles in there. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's got that look, though.
It says she claimed the possession was part of Lucifer's plan to turn her against God and convince her to serve evil. Well, I think that's every possession.
Yeah.
The writing featured a bizarre mixture of letters from archaic alphabets, and no one was able to decipher the messages. Today, One of the mysterious texts still exists intact, and thanks to research from Ludum Science Center in Italy, part of it has finally been decoded. The breakthrough is thanks to a piece of software discovered on the dark web. We heard about the software, which we believe is used by intelligence services for code breaking, Daniel Abate, director of the center, told The Times. We primed the software with ancient Greek, Arabic, and runic alphabet and Latin to scramble some of the letters and show that it really is devilish. The letter is said to describe God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as dead weights and states God thinks he can free mortals, but this system works for no one. It even goes as far as to claim that God was invented by man. There is also a reference made within the writing that the river Styx, which in Greek mythology is said to separate the realm of the living from the underworld. Despite the findings, Danielle doesn't believe Sister Maria was ever possessed by the devil, but instead she may have suffered from a condition like schizophrenia. He explained, "I personally believe that the nun had a good command of languages, which allowed her to invent the code, and may have suffered from a condition like schizophrenia, which made her imagine dialogues with the devil." What do you think of that?
That's pretty wild and scary at the same time.
Okay, I'm just going to show this one more time.
Just the writing alone looks scary.
That writing looks like it would be super complicated. Could it be done?
Scary to try to figure out.
Well, I mean, it could be done, but that is scary.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And it does remind me of Egyptian writing, though.
It does. It I don't know. There's
something about that time, maybe that age, you know, it seems like.
It could be. But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It kind of freaks me out.
It does. Yeah.
I'm a wimp when it comes to that kind of thing.
We are definitely in a danger zone there.
Yeah, are we?
Yeah.
You know.
Danger.
Yeah.
Wow. So, can you believe it's already 9:58?
I can't
believe. Have you been sleeping good on your MyPillow?
I have. Actually, I've been sleeping better. So.
Well, good. So, MyPillow.com, promo code
Crankers.
You know, not that 3,000 other people aren't saying the same thing.
Right.
But, you know.
Right. I hear you.
If you want to really go check out something cool, go to thecostclub.com.
Right.
Because you can get a cranker hat there.
There you go.
And Frisbees. I want my Frisbees. The glow-in-the-dark Morning Crankers Frisbees.
Yes.
And we'll have to come up with maybe a cornhole board.
Yeah.
You think?
We're working on that.
Yeah. Cornhole board. I think that that'd be awesome. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm pretty good at cornhole. Are you?
I am too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm real good.
I challenge you to a cornhole off.
There we go.
Ish.
Cornhole-ish.
Cornhole-ish off?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Cornholio.
I'm going to win. I'm telling you. Yeah, we got a lot more in store for you tomorrow, folks. Remember, pretty soon, we may have a evening crankers.
We just might.
Which will be a completely different show, but yeah. Fun. Still comedy, still But
things will have to fall in place for that to happen.
Men and women working show. That's what it is.
It is.
You know what I mean? We love you, folks.
We love you.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Kenny, words of wisdom?
Words of wisdom. Can't wait till hump day. Maybe we're in the middle of the week.
That's tomorrow. Love you.
Love you.